From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of September 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Tom Fritz from the EFG Group. Mike Zuzlow is out of the office for the afternoon. We'll also discuss the weather forecast today with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. He'll help us detail Helene and its path and what kinds of destruction came along with it. And then we'll turn our attention to Commodity Week with our panelists today. If you can stay with us for the whole hour, you'll hear all of that on our home station, including Arlen Suderman of StoneX, Naomi Bloom of Total Farm Marketing, as well as Logan Kimmel at Roach Ag Marketing. Commodity Week's our weekly look at what happened in the commodity markets, and it all happens right here on Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn for the day settled at $4.18. That was up 4.75. The March at 4.35, 4 higher. And May corn at 4.44 3/4, up 3.75. November soybeans today up 24.75 cents, settled at 10.65 3/4. January at 10.83, up 23.75. And the March contract at 10.95 1/4, up 22.25 cents. Bean meal $19.50 higher at 3.43.70. As you'll hear, it was driving the market higher for the day. The bean oil at 42.18, 74 cents lower. Wheat futures, soft red December at 5.80, down 4.25 cents. The hard red in the December at 5.76 3/4, down 2.25 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $184.47, down 35 cents. Feeders at 245.70, up 72.5 cents per 100 pounds. And December lean hogs at $73.37, down 55 cents for the day. The crude oil at $68.16 a barrel, up 48 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline a penny lower at $1.92.4 per gallon on this Friday. Tom Fritz now joins us. He's at EFG Group. Hi, Tom. Thank you for being with us. It's been a long time since we talked. I hope things are going well for you up north in Chicago. Is that right?
That is correct, Todd. Been here, lifelong resident.
So tell me about the marketplace as you see it today. There was another rally.
Well, I think it was a bit of a surprise today, especially in the soybean sector. Soybean meal just literally took off today, led by the October contract. And that's going into delivery. So I think that had a little bit to do with it. There's some concerns about, maybe the hurricane damaged some infrastructure down at the Gulf. Well, I don't want to buy into that. But soybeans had to follow suit whenever soybean meal was this strong. And I think soybeans, what's on everybody's mind is the weather in Brazil, how it's going to develop as we move into October. That is supposedly the beginning of their rainy season. And right now, forecasts just really don't look all that promising right now. You always find a forecast that'll suit your needs. But most people are saying what rains we see in the first half of October will be spotty at best. And some guys are saying what rains we see in October will not be a trend changer. So I think that's on everyone's mind, as is there is some talk about the dry finish to the soybean crop, that maybe our yields are diminishing a little bit, if you will. And last but not least, Todd, the trend in the soybean market as far as speculators go has been short covering for the last number of weeks now. Here we are coming into month end as well as the end of the quarter. So I think all of these factors added to what I call the perfect storm today.
So perfect storm. There is an ebb and flow to the marketplace. I think yesterday felt as if we had the 4 days up and we're this week, and we are until yesterday and last, and that we probably were going to take some profits yesterday, but that it might slump again. And then overnight, a little bit of the opposite happened. What are your expectations going into next week?
Next week, we're going to look at the number one on Monday report, but it deals with old crops. So I'm not placing a lot on that. Average guesses are the projected carryout that we've seen here for a while. But, USDA, they're always good for a curveball. So, but right now, based on crop estimates, I'm not really expecting that much. So I think we're going to go back to looking at harvest weather here, as well as what are the updated forecasts for South America.
Does that mean there will be a fight between hedge pressure and the potential issues related to a late planting or delayed planting in South America as to which direction the soybeans are likely to go?
I believe so. You know, as far as hedge pressure goes, you know, I don't talk to all that many producers, but the ones that I have had words with, they're not inclined to sell very much. They're looking at this rally saying, oh boy, this is great. You know, the worst is behind us. But I don't know, you've got, what, 75% of harvest yet to go? So I'd be a little bit suspect about how much more follow-through we're going to see on this rally.
And if you were thinking about that farmer who needs to run soybeans across the scale, and many of them will, soybeans tend to be sold far earlier than corn. In your opinion, should they make some sales across the scale?
Well, I've always looked at it as, you know, what's the basis level in your neighborhood? If you're looking at historically a good basis, oh, yes, let them have some. I've never been a big fan of storage. But, you know, you look at the price structure within the futures market, there's a lot of carry there. So, you know, if you can afford to pay your storage charges, you know, you may want to think about capturing that carry. But first and foremost, always look at your basis levels. If you think you've got a really good basis, you let them have some.
What fundamentals have you been watching in the corn market to date?
I watch basis levels a lot. I watch demand a lot. You know, primarily export demand. You know, I think our domestic demand is pretty static. So I look at export demand, and it's been pretty good. Is it market making? Not quite yet. I got a little bit of a problem with China. USDA says, you know, they're going to take, what was it? I forget the number, but there's like a 9 million ton spread between what China says they're going to take versus what the USDA says they're going to take. So, you know, that's a little bit up in the air. But I do think the European Union's going to let go of some of their strict standards and import some of our corn. I think Ukraine had a short corn crop, so I think we're going to get some of their business. But, you know, the other side of that coin is we've got a really good corn crop out there. I hear too many people saying, you know, this is the best corn we've ever seen.
Do you suppose the Monday grain stocks report for corn will show a lighter or bigger number to roll into the WASDE in October?
I've seen it on both sides. I've seen lower numbers. I've seen higher numbers. But because it deals with old crop and, you know, that's going to be our carry-in, and I think we have such a big crop coming on, I think if, you know, the number is a surprise, if it's a lower number than expected, we may trade it briefly, but then I think we're just going to go forward and look at the size of the new crop that we've got coming at us.
Any final thoughts before I let you go for the day?
I'd like to think the rally that the producer is seeing right now, I would like to think that he's going to use this as an opportunity to get something sold. I have a hard time imagining with 75% of the harvest yet to go that this rally has much more to it.
Hey, thank you much.
Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Tom Fritz. He's with the EFG Group in Chicago. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org, willag.org, or search out the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast applications. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois Farm. Tim Gleason. Let's check in now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions in Dagerbal. Hello. Good Friday afternoon to you, Eric.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
So let's begin with Helene, the hurricane that came ashore in Florida but has managed to turn back to the northeast. I believe a good portion of the Corn Belt in Ohio, parts of Indiana, southern Illinois have been impacted now. Can you tell me about that sweep and what kinds of things you're watching and worried about?
Yeah. So last night, you know, Cat 4 at landfall, we've got several million people without power today. We actually lost a lot of our weather stations down there offline because of the power slump. It'll be really important to get that data. And I know they do have their own on-site data collection, even when the power goes out. But the worry is that when you go for insurance claims, sometimes they're based off those weather stations. And so we need that data definitely. But it was powerful and it moved quickly. And it made some absolutely catastrophic flooding in parts of South Carolina and North Carolina, including broad swaths, of course, of Florida and Georgia. But you're right. So it made a turn toward the northeast, which is toward the Carolinas, but it's going to move back to the northwest very soon. And as it does so, it's going to sit over the Mid-South. And this is going to be a really, really tricky forecast. To be honest with you, Todd, this morning when it started raining here, I wasn't really expecting it too much. And the reason is we had some dry air near the surface. I thought we're going to have a lot of Virga, but the rain has tried to come down. And we've got chances for rain now through the remainder of the weekend, which is going to put a, you know, it's going to be a bit of a soggy weekend overall, but it's going to be the winds. They're not up yet, but they're going to be climbing throughout the rest of the day today into tomorrow. We may have wind gusts here, we may see some 50 mile an hour gusts nearby. Indiana is probably going to be stronger. The southern half of Indiana, parts of Ohio are as well. And I was just talking to some folks there. The risk is that given how the crop finished under such dry conditions in the Eastern Corn Belt with winds like this, the question will be, you know, what is the standability of the crop under such strong winds? And so that'll be watched very carefully. So could we get some rain out of it? Sure. Where's the heaviest rain going to be? It's going to be south of us. And Helene's cloud cover and will just be a nuisance all through this weekend. So be prepared for some strong winds out of this today into tonight.
As the corn finishes the season up, of course, it concentrates or tries to concentrate what it can on the ear, and it will do that to the exclusion of other parts of the plant, including the stalk. So it'll be interesting to see how those go. I do have a secondary question, as it is related to the amount of rainfall that will be coming along the Ohio River and what help that will do in the lower Mississippi.
Well, the lower Mississippi got down to 10.5 feet below low stage before this, so it was already extremely low, lower than even was a year ago. And the Ohio River is a major contributor, of course, and it's been low. So will there be some help? Yeah, but I don't think it's enough to undo the fact that the Missouri Basin and the mid and upper Mississippi Basin have nothing. That's where it's been extremely dry. I mean, parts of Minnesota, which remember had the wettest spring and early summer on record, just had their driest September on record, right? So we've completely flipped the script and made things exceptionally dry to the finish there. And there's a lot of folks in throughout the plains, throughout the Midwest that are just, you know, looking at all this rainfall that's coming through and wishing, I think, it was a bit more equitable in its distribution, given that we don't want to go into fall, late fall with drought conditions. So Tada, you know, it's one where, you know, we often use the phrase haves and have nots. Well, the have nots really have nothing and the haves have way, way too much. So this is a trick. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still not thinking we are done with tropical systems coming out of the Gulf of Mexico just yet. There's some indications out there when we look into that first, the end of the first week of October that there could be something coming out of the Bay of Campeche again. And will that come into the go to the Mississippi or will it go to the southeast or just hit Florida? Don't know yet, but we'll keep an eye on that one pretty carefully too.
What do you see for the month of October? It starts next week.
Yeah, I know. So it's kind of crazy how quickly we got here, but we have some cooler air coming in. It's much drier air coming in with a front that's going to get you the first few days of October. So I don't see much precipitation. Overall, the forecast is drier for the month of October for us, mainly because all the storm systems are starting in the Bering Sea. They're going into British Columbia. We have another thing called the MJO. We talk about it every once in a while. The MJO is really tucked away in what we call phase one, which tends to put a big ridge that starts in the Great Basin. It moves out into the Rocky Mountains, into the plains. That's not a good indicator for rain for us. And La Nina. La Nina's going. La Nina, it's weak, but it's there. And La Nina, Octobers tend to be drier. So you'll look at any long-range forecast for October and likely see drier conditions. But temperatures, when we finish the month, we might be able to measure it all and go, oh, it was a mild October, but that doesn't mean anything. It's going to be a rapidly fluctuating temperature pattern through the remainder of this month. And we may get all the way to the halfway point before we see our first frost, but that wouldn't be too far off of normal for us.
What do you see for the winter months?
Well, we got some new information about winter, and most of it is largely still focused on La Nina, meaning we're going to split the country north-south, the northern edges of the country, better chances of being cold this winter, more repeated cold events. If you're to the south, more chances of being warmer. But that puts us in the middle, right? We're tucked in the middle, and the Ohio Valley still looks wet. Every long-range model I've got right now suggests we see a lot of active storm systems this winter. And overall, you look at that and go, that's great. You know, we will hate the winter going through it. We'll love it come May. And even the current March, April, May forecasts do look wet for next spring based off of the CFSV2 models. So I'll just keep an eye on it, but still very much a La Nina dominated forecast for winter from every major forecasting group.
Is La Nina holding off enough that it's not raining in South America at this point?
Yeah, well, South America is dealing with the fact their dry season was so dry, and the soil moisture plus the low-level moisture deficits are making it difficult to get any rain in place. But it's been flooding in southern Brazil, which has been a problem. But we'll get new statistics today on their planting progress. I expect them to still be behind. The October forecasts are trying to bring in rain the second half of the month. But I'm just saying we are not yet in a monsoonal circulation, which means the flow is not coming correctly out of the Atlantic over the Amazon into the Cerrado, which means I think we're going to see a couple more weeks of delays for planting in Brazil. But by most indications, much of Brazil should have adequate precipitation to get things going later in October than through November and December.
Is that a snap thing? Does it switch sort of quickly, or does it do that relatively slowly over time?
Oh, that's a great question. It usually does it quickly. It's all of a sudden, a couple of things align, get the trade winds reoriented, get the high pressure in the right spot off of the east coast of South America, and then the monsoon goes, and then it reinforces itself. So it just keeps going and going and going. Yeah, so it is. It's often a rapid onset thing once it gets going.
Thank you much.
Yeah.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribum. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online, on demand, anytime you'd like to hear us at willag.org. That's willag.org.